pregunta.
¿Por qué la bruja? ¿Por qué la bruja?
My name's la bruja.
Hey witches, it's Amy coming at you with our final episode of season one of Missing Witches and Witches Found. You just heard La Bruja's anthem for which it stands, or at least a clip of it. With her permission, we will be playing the entire track at the end of this episode, so please stay tuned for that. It is a banger and a shaker. And I wanted to shout out La Bruja in general, because we are so inspired by her work here at Missing Witches. She is New Yorican, so a lot of her work is focused on the New York Puerto Rican community and on Puerto Rico. But she also has done work to attain historical landmark status for the house where Edgar Allan Poe lived in New York. So she's just an all-around wonderful, powerful, creative witch, and we encourage you to follow her on Instagram and check her out. Her Instagram handle is LaBrujaNYC. So for this episode, we brought back our first found witch and our last found witch, that being Rita from Reader with Love on Instagram, and Phoenix at Sycamore on Instagram. If you haven't listened to their solo interviews on Witches Found, please do so. They really are amazing people with so much to say. I sort of conceive of Halloween and Samhain Samhain as being two different things. Halloweekend is where we masquerade. We can be a unicorn. We can be a wizard. We can be Lady Gaga and no one is going to look twice at us. We can go out, get candy, or go dancing and shake off the cobwebs of the year that has led us to this point and be ready and refreshed for the winter. So on Halloweekend, that's what I like to do. But Samhain Samhain, the 31st of October, is for witchcraft. Me, I will be drinking a cup of mugwort tea in front of the bonfire with my book of shadows, and I will be listening for the signs and watching for the signs, and hoping and praying to be guided for the next phase of my life by my ancestors and by our common ancestor spirit. So please enjoy this conversation between me and Risa and Phoenix and Rita. Have a safe and happy Halloween and know that you are loved. Dig in.
Hey, witches.
Hi.
Hello.
Happy Halloween. Happy Samhain, Samhain. Whatever you celebrate, yes. All Hallows Eve, the thinning of the veil.
Yes.
We're super excited for our last episode of the season of Witches Found. We brought our first found witch.
Hello.
You remember Rita from episode one of Witches Found, episode two of Missing Witches, and of course Phoenix.
Hiya.
You remember her from our last two episodes of Witches Found, and of course Risa is with us.
Hello, witches.
Now Risa has recently produced a human being from outside of her body.
I squeezed out a human being. Yeah. I sound more tired now.
So she might sound a little more tired. Do you want to tell us what it's like to be a portal to the other side of the universe real quick? Or?
Sure, yeah, I love to jump right into portal stories.
Yeah.
Talk about the thinning of the veil.
Yeah.
There was that time when I thought the veil wouldn't thin and she wouldn't come out and we would all die. Should I go straight to that part? It's Halloween, right?
Yeah, it's the Halloween episode. Tell us about your near-death experience.
You know, it probably wasn't near-death, but at so many other times in history it would have been, and that was scary to think about.
Wow.
You know? I was in a hospital. That's where I wanted to be. It was my first kid, and I'm 38, so I didn't want to be at home. But I had a doula there. My sister's a doula. So I had my, little kid sister, who I know has, witnessed some very traumatic births all around the world, there with me. And, you know, her and my partner, Mark, just, spent maybe the first 12 hours that we were in the hospital, which was the second 12 hours of labor, like chanting with me and meditating, and we would hold hands and hum during contractions, which were like every 3 minutes or less for like hours and hours and hours.
I just want to ask a quick question, because like you talk about chanting and meditation, so like how do you feel like being a quote-unquote witch like impacted your birth plan or your birth practice?
Interesting. In a bunch of different ways, I feel like it did. I think I look for a lot of synchronicities, or I look for cues that things are going to be okay, or I look for cues that the universe is with me, or the goddess is with me, or the wind is with me, or something, you know, like however I identify it at that moment.
I find personally like a lot of comfort in that. I recently had a surgery, and when I was in like the intake where, you know, they do the triage and the nurse is like, and the radio was on, and hey, yeah, like, yeah. The cast came on. And she was taking my pulse, and I was like, it might be a little fast because this is one of the greatest songs ever. But in my mind, I was very much like, you know, Andre 3000 says everything's going to be okay. And it was like a legitimate and genuine like source.
Completely. Completely. Yeah.
So we're watching for the signs.
Yeah. So I had a night of contractions like 3 weeks early at my mom's house. And I looked out the window in the morning and saw a cardinal. And that's my grandmother's favorite bird. And I felt like my grandmother's still alive. She and I are very close, but my grandfather passed. And I felt like he was there. And we knew we were naming May after my grandmother on the other side. And my great-grandmother on that side both had May in their name. So I felt like the cardinal was like a sign that everything was going to be okay. And when we went outside the hospital and stood in the sun and were having contractions, like leaning on this sculpture, my sister was like, do you want to see the cardinal that's watching you? And I turned around and there was a cardinal. Oh. There was other moments where I like held on to something that I felt was like I felt like was like a little cue that we're going to make it through this together. There was also a moment where I felt like ancestors were there, and I had read descriptions of that I found really beautiful, so I probably was anticipating that and generated it and imagined it as much as I felt it, and that's okay. I think that's all part of magic, is, you know, the self-fictionalizing or whatever. There's a description in White Oleander where she's with another like young foster girl holding her hand. She wanted her to accompany her in the labor, and she says she cries out for her mother, and it's not the mother who abused her and abandoned her, but it's like a greater mother and a darker mother who kind of walks life and death with all of us.
Primordial mother.
Yeah. And I felt very connected to my mom in that moment, but also felt like, yeah, my grandparents were there in a circle. When I finally took the epidural and I couldn't feel it kicking in yet, I was still in pain, and I felt a lot of guilt about taking an epidural, and I was all fucked up about all of that mom guilt shit already. Mm-hmm. And I was shaking and shaking and shaking and shaking and shaking, and I felt like my ancestors were, I felt like my grandparents were there, and that was maybe a witchy moment, or maybe just like a human moment. I don't know.
Well, I think it's come up in every episode pretty much that we've done, whether it be witches found or missing witches, where that is what magic is, but sort of the space between atoms, the things that don't make sense but make the most sense.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we find the magic, in these little crevices of overstanding.
Yeah.
I feel so intense sitting next to you while you're telling this story.
So, do you want to get into why it's giving you feelings of intensity?
As she's getting into it, my heart's just racing, sitting next to you, and I kind of want to cry right now. But
I cried.
It sounds insane. Oh my god!
Talk about it. This is something like, you know, women who've been dying in childbirth, like being this portal to the other dimension or whatever.
Hundreds of millions of generations.
For hundreds of millions of generations, women have just been straight up. And
crazy.
And to feel guilt to take an epidural, that's crazy.
Well, I mean, dude.
Sorry, that's no. like, yeah.
It sucks. You sucks to feel that way.
Yeah. Like you felt like it was like a failure. Yeah. And it was like, yeah. Get into that. Like, yeah. Why?
Since when is pain strange. Like.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's like how we've been like, other people have been ripped away from the process. Like, you know, like, my father wasn't anywhere near the place where my sister was born. Right. And he was, like, in the hallway when I was born.
Right.
And he said later, like, oh, I had no idea, you know, there would be so much screaming. Or, you know, there would be... He genuinely didn't even know. And this isn't 200 years ago, you know. This is, like, 40 years ago. He didn't even understand.
Yeah.
Because men were so, like... Maybe they chose not to be in the room. I wouldn't want to be in the room, maybe.
But in the movies, everybody's in the room. And their mother. It's like everyone is there.
Not in the historical dramas. Yeah. It's like six women with a pot of boiling water.
Yeah.
You know, contemporary movies, we get that. But it gets glossed over a lot, I think, because of the beauty. It's amazing. It's a, you know, it's a miracle. And so, like, we don't want to talk about the... Yeah. Gore and guts that are gonna dirty up our perfect little miracle, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. It's a very human thing, I guess, to do.
Yeah. And the like dark magic of it, the dark power of it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought a lot about Monica Show, who's one of the witches that we did in the first season. She talks about, you know, the racism inherent in saying that, you know, we have to go towards the light, or sort of emphasizing the light, the sort of new age story about, like, you know, the sun and the crystals and all of this kind of stuff, but ripping it from a woman's power and an earth power and a connection to our responsibility to the earth.
And then creating this binary opposition that we're always trying to fight.
Yeah, like, and I don't...
Like dark good bad.
Yeah, exactly, and I don't know exactly where... I don't know exactly how to explain that or where to go with that, except that I did feel like there was a real knowledge coming out of it for me of, like, all of these women around me, like, have this in them, like, this death-life potential in them, are carrying a sorrow of a kind of, like, having done this or not, like, choosing to not do this and make something else, or, like, this very fertile darkness. I don't know, I don't know what I'm trying to say about that, except that I felt that there was, like, a real violence and darkness to the process, and that it made me look around at women in a very different way.
Yeah. Like, root work and stuff, they talk about this a lot. Like, it's not pretty crystals. It's working with, like, piss and blood and nail clippings and getting your hands dirty.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, you know, this is all the stuff that we want to avoid is where the real meat of it is often.
Yeah.
You know, in those dark moments that we're trying to get away from, often we'll use drugs or alcohol or our work to stop feeling these bad things, but really, like, we need
to embrace darkness. It's like a reaching for the light constantly. It's like, you know, there's a lot of power in embracing darkness, which we are taught to kind of, like, see as failure or as the bad side, but it's actually quite empowering when you're like, I feel this, and I think not embracing that is, like, a source of guilt, that like it transpires into a source of guilt by, like, I'm feeling these dark things. It's like, no, there's embracing it because you're, in this case, you know, creating life, you know. Yeah, there's really dark feelings that come with that, and embracing that, that's part of the process. It's not just about finding this light. You know, sometimes the light is hard to find. Mm-hmm. So, like, what, feeling dark means you failed? Like, no, embrace that. It's a season.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot of spiritual bypassing that goes around.
Totally.
These kinds of concepts where it's, like, related to, like, positivity culture, positivity psychology, and it's kind of like a silencing of brown and black folk.
Oh, right? Life light movement, please don't.
Yeah.
Well, it's just saying that, you know, you kind of have to always turn a positive or a silver line and stuff.
And not discuss your life, which is not always, like, perfect, and I don't know who this is.
Yeah.
It's like, and you get ostracized from these love and light communities that, like, are kind of a product of privilege in itself.
And it shows up. Yeah. It shows up in conflict where like people are like, oh, I can't like deal with this. Like it's too much like labor or like whatever. You know,
yeah. Like structural or, violence.
Like, agree, disagree kind of thing, and it's a way to not take responsibility and not take accountability and like avoid doing the hard work in relationships and communities.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I like that.
So somebody sent me this quote, and it's something that we've all talked about, but I love that this writer summed it up so well. To me, to be colonized means to be disconnected and disintegrated from our ancestry, from the earth, from our indigeneity, from our earth-connected selves. We all come from earth-connected people, people who once lived in deep connection to the rhythms of nature. I believe it is not a coincidence that the colonization of this land happened at the same time that Europeans were burning hundreds of thousands of witches, those women who carried the traditional indigenous knowledge of the tribes of Europe.
Mm. You know, we had an indigenous person reach out to us and say, like, I think it probably happened after the our episode with Annie Lamaro, the medicine woman, and saying, like, thank you for representing this. You know, indigenous culture often gets ignored in contemporary New Age paganism.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is baffling and bananas.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to try to connect to the earth while ignoring the message of the people who are most connected to the earth that you are at least standing on right now, if you're American, for sure? So, yeah, I mean, you know, Amy gets angry, Amy needs to take a deep breath and calm down, but if you're smudging and you don't, like, try to, like, support Native people, you're not smudging right, babe. It's like, smudge your own negativity.
Yes.
I've almost had it officially with this, like, again, you say the love and light. Like, no, people are complaining because they're being violently oppressed, and you want to tell them, oh, she's a drag, or whatever, because she's like, oh, I just, she's so negative.
Like, she hasn't confronted her, like, demons or something.
Like, anger, righteous anger, you know, somebody who's just going around being pissed off all the time, whatever, we don't need those people. But righteous anger is what tells us when something is wrong.
Yeah.
We need, again, the darkness, we need anger to tell us when something doesn't feel right with us, and sadness to tell us when something isn't.
Yeah, and how to investigate those histories, because they're long buried, you know? Like, we talk about why were those women alone? Why were so many women alone giving birth? And then go back to that connection made in that quote between colonization and the witch hunts, or, you know, like, they were happening at the same time, and they were the product of the same unfolding of religious capitalism, you know, like, it's the same process happening on two different fronts of attacking women, and specifically women who had knowledge of how to help women through birth, who had a traditional knowledge to put, you know, and then at the same time taking land on other continents. Like, it's the dehumanization, it's the taking of knowledge. I don't know. I find that there's a history there that hasn't been fully tied in a loop for me of, you know, hundreds of thousands of women killed in Europe while colonization is happening.
And this comes up for me a lot too, because I'm like, was it like we had a beautiful goddess culture, you know, primordial, whatever, like we've read about in show, you know, that women were likely the ones who invented language, who invented fire control, and therefore cooking and medicine, because they were the ones doing the hunting and gathering, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, it's almost like at a certain point, did a lightning bolt of patriarchy and capitalism just, like, hit the world? When did this start and why? Like, how did we get here?
Yeah.
Where indigenous, and you say, like, capitalist, religious capitalism is probably the best
that's a good
word combination that I've heard. Because, like, that's what we saw with Columbus, for example.
And it's still happening here.
It's still happening.
Like, in Quebec, with the CAC in power and going after Muslim women.
Yeah,
like
going
after Muslim women while declaring that they're going to start, you know, mining again in the Gulf of St. Lawrence, like, same day. Like, what's the relationship between going after women and going after the earth? Like, what?
If any of our listeners have an answer for this, please let us know.
And how do we resist better?
Yeah,
I feel like this is. Maybe I've big factor in why, like, it took so long for witchcraft to be accepted in North America, because it was that connection to the earth was killed off here mm-hmm. through colonization. They killed it off. In every other culture, mm-hmm. there is witchcraft or an element of this mysticism and connection with nature across the board, you know, like literally all that. There's ritual, there's connecting with the earth. Wise people, gurus, priests, all of this. But here, it took a really long time because women had to come a really long way, I feel, in North America, as opposed, and I think they're leading this movement right now, as opposed to, you know, we're looking to reconnect with that here through, you know, ancient teachings of Native peoples and things like that now, but that was killed off here. I think that's a big reason why we're here.
Yeah. And I think we gain magic back as we gain back gender spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I think mm-hmm. we kind of get fractured into like these really ridiculous puppeted roles of gender. Mm-hmm. And so we lose, you know, we lose our men and we lose our queer, you know, magicians, and we lose our trans witches or whatever when we're just fighting for our lives instead of working together to make magic on every level, you know?
If you're just trying to get by on the daily, which a lot of people are, then it becomes increasingly difficult to mm-hmm. have the energy to try to change the world, let alone, you know, to feel like you can accomplish something. You brought this up in one of our conversations. It was like, they want to grind the energy out of you.
Yeah, they stunt your growth like that. Like, here, keep them in survival mode. And then all these other heights or goals don't get accomplished. Or, mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. You just kind of stay stunted because you're just trying to be.
Yeah. This kind of brings us to Sunday's episode was about Brenda Laurel and how she synthesized, like, her paganism with the birth of new technology, and
keep going. I'm listening.
We're not going to get into all the technicalities of the internet, but I did want to bring up that because it's accessible and largely anonymous, that the internet is a huge place where women have really come into their own in terms of, you know, being allowed into spaces, producing your own material. You know, if you're trying to get through the gates, it's a different story now because you can make a podcast in your house and you don't need to go through a producer or whatever. So I find that the internet has really, like, given people a voice who otherwise would not have had a voice.
Yay, women, we love you.
Well, like, it's democratized witchcraft too, because I think with witchcraft you get into like tropes of kind of feminizing everything, because it's just part of the patriarchal game to separate witchcraft as like a feminine art.
Mm-hmm.
But like most, like there's so many non-binary and like trans folk doing witchcraft, like, and being persecuted the most on all fronts.
Because it's feminine, which is treasonous, and then they're, mm-hmm. you know, queer. Is also treasonous against patriarchy.
And so the internet basically democratized kind of that whole process and allowed the voiceless to access space and to kind of spread their mission. And I'm following so many, like, gender-funky witches
mm-hmm.
on Instagram. It's like,
cool.
There's a
Can
lot
you
of
shout some out and then we'll do a couple shout outs? I have a shout out lined up for this.
I follow this incredible group of witches in New Orleans, Labana Babylon and Hobarf.
Hobarf is fantastic and unsettling in the best way.
Yes, I love them. And Bruja Galactica.
Mm-hmm.
And
that sounds like
Loma Loca Shares is a great one.
Yeah, I think if you go into who the Missing Witches Instagram follows, I think you'll see all of these names. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you want to, definitely go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to particularly shout out one of my favorite witches that I found on Instagram, who is a male queer POC, named Edgar Fabian Frias. Ooh. And he, Risa and I actually did one of the Golden Dome School. He's a part of the Golden Dome School. We did their
Resurrection of Care ritual.
Resurrection of Care. I got stuck on Cremation of Care, which is the opposite. Yeah. And maybe you can read about Cremation of Care if you want to. But anyway, his feed, the Golden Dome feed, but in particular, Edgar Fabian Frias, if you are listening right now, your gifts are life. Your photos are life, your blessings are life, and I'm so grateful to have had the ability through this little supercomputer that I carry in my pocket to be able to access this, like, LA, you know, queer POC, wonderful, like, I get so much warmth. Mm-hmm. Edgar, again, if you're listening, I get so much warmth from his feed, it's just, like, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Does anybody else have, like, a favorite Instagram witch that they want to shout out?
I don't have an Instagram witch, but I should shout out the community that I'm a part of.
Please.
There's a witch named Carolyn Elliott. She was a professor of poetry at University of Pittsburgh, and she started Bad Witches, badwitch.es, the website. They have some really interesting writing, and then she has some classes you can take, and then there's an Instagram group. There's about 1,000 crazy powerhouse witches there who have been so supportive of the podcast.
So supportive. Yeah. Like half the time when we get a DM, I'm like, because Risa is a part of this Insight group. It's Insight?
I think it's called Influence.
Influence, yeah.
The original class that Influence. I was in, yeah.
So I'll be like, oh, you know, wonderful to meet. And they're like, yeah, we're from Influence. Like yeah. Half the DMs. And I'm like, there's that Influence again. So yeah, shout out Dark Lake Tarot.
Oh, yeah.
She's one of our biggest supporters. And amazing. Just like, it's always letting us know how the podcast affected her and like her thoughts about it and how it made her feel. And I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
For sure. Thank you so much, Dark Lake Tarot. I'm going to shout out one more group that I'm not a part of, and that I am actually specifically excluded from, but that's okay. I'm okay with being excluded from this because, again, it's for black witches, and I'm a white person, so I get that it's important for Black Witch University to not be open to me, and I understand why. However, Lakeisha Harris, she has not put any bars on their YouTube videos, of course. You can access all of this information. She's just not gonna... If you're white like me, do not apply to Black Witch University. You're wasting your time and Lakeisha's time. But like I say, Black Witch Chronicles, Black Witch University on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook. I have gotten so much from these amazing, powerful, inclusive women who are using, I mean, Lakeisha is beyond, she works in social justice, she's a full-time, amazing, never stopping, you know, reproductive justice, she's constantly, again, shout out Lakeisha Harris, if you're listening, you amaze me and I'm inspired by you, but she still has time to take what she knows and use it to heal people. You know, and use it to teach people.
Wow.
So, again, if you're white, don't apply, but definitely go watch all the YouTube videos. I've spent the last, like, year or so just catching up on all of the amazing Black Witch Chronicles. So, yeah, go on YouTube. I'll link it in the show notes because I really want you guys to just go and watch all of these videos. So, yeah, that's one more shout-out from me out to the universe, to the witches we've found using technology, using the internet. Thank you so much, YouTube, Instagram, for just giving us these. And of course, the people who produce, again,
definitely.
Lakeisha, yeah, the people who are producing these, you know, things, and just giving them to us.
Yeah.
I appreciate so much, like, sharing your gifts with the world. Major shout out.
Everybody who's written into us, we didn't, when Amy and I started talking about this podcast, we had no real expectations. We were like, well, we've fucking made basement art before. We don't care if anybody listens. Like, you know, I had the idea for the name and the writing the histories, and Amy brought all of these interviews and all of her music and sound and passion. It wouldn't have happened otherwise, any of it. But we were just going to make it for ourselves because we were so stoked at that point. We would do the research and put it out.
Like, yeah. We would call each other on the phone and be like, I just found this witch. Oh my God, you have to hear about it. Like, even the ones that we ended up covering. Like,
yeah.
You know, Reese is like, okay, this Monica Show woman. So she like took a group of witches to like a church and then sang, you know.
Sang the song.
And I was like, what? You know, I'm like shaking on the phone. Like, so we basically just wanted to, like,
do the
share
research.
Our phone conversations. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, so then to have anybody listen to it or want to be on it, thank you.
Or agree to be on it.
Yeah, agree to be on it more than want to.
It's right up our alley.
Yeah, it has been crazy. I have an idea for how to end this episode.
Great.
Can I throw it at you?
Yeah.
Brainstorm your rituals for tonight, the night this podcast goes live, so Samhain.
Right.
What can people do who listen to this podcast and want to walk out into the world and feel some magic?
I love that.
Oh, and I'll preface this by saying we're all about the goddess forgives. So if you don't have something we suggest using, fucking make something else up. You're fine.
And the goddess also does not want you to spend money that you do not have.
No.
The goddess does not want you to go into debt.
Don't do money.
Okay. This goddess is broke.
Yeah. Gotcha.
The goddess does not want
doesn't
you to
want you to spend money. And I read a great article on that website this week that was, is your witchcraft a crutch? Don't use the tools of witchcraft to increase your fear. If you did a spell wrong, you're not going to get hurt. Mm. You know, there's no, you are your own power.
Yes.
You are your power.
And as with magic, as with life, your intentions going in are 90% of what comes out.
Yeah.
You know, if you go in with a loving heart, then a loving magic will be produced.
You forget a magical rock at home, you're fine.
Yeah.
All the power is you. The magical rock is you.
We talk about this too, like your index finger being like the best magic wand that you can get your hands on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Scorpio and a burlesque performer, so I'm a very sensual goddess. Like, my rituals are all about, like, my body outside and in, and then connecting with nature. So I would prepare a delicious bath full of herbs and oils and Epsom salts that I've got at home. And then I would just like enjoy that and meditate. And then I would prepare myself in a nice outfit. Although in winter, that's kind of impossible. So I probably won't do that part. I'll just wear something warm and then go to the river and meet the river and contemplate under the moon and be gracious and grateful and think about how Isis suffered and took refuge in the river with, you know, a Wedjet, who I'm actually invoking tonight, the snake goddess, the protector of royals and pharaohs. I will be doing that at Chocolate Jungle.
What?
And that's my favorite kind of ritual is performance.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to perform in front of an audience and doing my thing is like totally an ascension for me. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, I never really saw too much of a difference. I was raised in the church, but I never really saw too much difference between that kind of performance, you know, the pews being the audience, the congregation, and any other kind of person on a stage, you know. So to me, it's like a very religious experience to see a performer who moves me,
yes.
You know, in a religious,
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Kind of way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Rita, do you have any rituals that you...
I have been engaging in, like, a daily one in the kitchen and just keep that going just because these things take time to fully manifest. For me, anyway, I've been putting, like, cinnamon and cayenne and sugar and everything so I can... It's Scorpio season, and I am a Gemini with an Aquarius moon and a Virgo rising, and dealing So yeah, all those spices are to kind of accept and be better equipped to deal with all the roller coasters of life by mixing all the different sensations. So that's kind of been my thing, and I'm going to probably do more of that this evening.
Yeah. We talk about this a lot on the Instagram, is that like not everybody has time or anything, resources, whatever it takes to do rituals, but like you have to eat.
Yes.
You have mm-hmm. to, you know, you have to take a shower every mm-hmm. now and again. So while you're in there, maybe like scrub your belly in a clockwise circular motion. Mm-hmm. Like take an extra, not even an extra 2 seconds. You have to eat. Yeah. You have to cook food.
Yeah.
So again, maybe just like think about how you're stirring it.
Yes.
Exactly. Like bring, just think while you're doing all the stuff that like that. That's magic. That's magic.
Yeah.
Just like
bringing meaning to your actions.
Consciousness.
Totally. I feel like with the recent full moon in Taurus, which like totally highlighted self-care ritual, like mandatory, you know, for the season, because like Venus is in retrograde. So it's just everybody has been encouraged to take time out for themselves through loving their physical self and physical environment. But mm-hmm. if you're a witch on the go,
Yes.
kitchen works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just wanted to follow up with that. Thanks to the people that have reached out since the Missing Witches podcast we did. It's been so nice to connect with so many different people that I don't think I would have connected with if I didn't do that podcast or didn't have Instagram. So thank you. You can still find me there.
Do you have something... update in terms of your contact info for
it? Yeah, I do. So Instagram still is Beth's Method. I also have a Facebook page, and I've kind of updated how you can book appointments and things like that, or book readings, with me. And there's a website
Just in case somebody missed your Witches Found episode, like, who are you? What are they booking you for?
Hi, I'm Rita. I go by From Rita with Love. I'm a practitioner of divination, different forms of divination, mostly tarot and dasha, and getting into coaching, which has really been fun.
So if that sounds interesting to you, definitely go check out episode 2 of the Missing Witches podcast.
Thanks.
Which would be episode 1 of Witches Found. Yeah, we made it nice and confusing for all y'all. Inclusivity is, you know, it's hard, but it's worth it.
Thank you. And I just wanted to, when we were talking about Instagram and who we follow or people that we're fans of, I read a lot of Mirka Ball Light Healing. Mm-hmm. She's, her name is Chelsea, and her posts are like readings to my soul. She is very, Mirka Ball Light Healing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's great. Her posts are so current with the transitions and the feelings, collective feelings at hand. They've been really great to read every day. Yeah, thanks.
I have a story.
Oh, yay.
So when I was like 5, this story was told to me by my dad. So grain of salt, because it's memory. But he told me that when I was 5, I like woke him up in the middle of the night to insist that he call his mom because she was sick in hospital. And he was like, or maybe, I don't know if she was sick. Anyway, and I just wouldn't go to bed. And he just like was like, no, you need to go to sleep. It's like 4 in the morning. Like, she's definitely not calling. Like, just go to sleep. And I just like wouldn't. And eventually I did, but he got the phone call in the morning that she had passed in the night. And so like, yeah, that's a story of, like, my psychic ability that, like, I was told. Because I'm kind of, like, yeah, like, there's a lot of self-doubt, definitely, that makes it so that I'm not so in touch as I could be with my psychicness.
I mean, it doesn't help that people will tell you you're crazy.
Exactly. So I'm getting back in touch, but that story kind of reminds me that, like, oh, shit, like, my grandma was, like, connected to me, and she, like, used me to, like, connect with my dad one last time before she left this plane, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all have been in our grandmother's wombs, you know? Like, that's, we were there.
True.
We were literally there, you know? So I don't think it's so crazy to think that when we're kids or when we quiet our minds, if there's a strong emotion, that that current moves. I just don't think that that's so crazy.
Yeah.
Call me crazy, but...
Do you, as an adult, do you experience this ever? Or is it that kind of thing that goes away with childhood?
I think I smoke too much weed now. So, I don't have, like, as much dreams and stuff.
I totally, what you just said can connect. I found that having, like, physical belongings of those that pass has been so comforting and connecting with them. Because my thoughts are everywhere sometimes, and it's hard in stressful times when we want to connect with our ancestors or people that have passed. Mm-hmm. And more recently, I was raised by my aunt for a large part of my life, and like wrapping my head in her scarf or, you know, or wearing something of hers has been so comforting that it's really like a blanket on my heart sometimes when, to try to connect with her, especially in those times where you need to, and they're there. Like, I feel like my dreams have changed on so many different levels recently that, you know.
And speaking of, like, clothes being imbued with, like, meaning and magic, because that really struck me about your story. When my mom had a portent, premonition that her son was going to die, she had a dream where she was being chased and saw the image of her son in the water, and it was my brother's son, like Hisham, but he was like in like a smaller body. And then the next day, my other brother Adam insisted on wearing Hisham's swimsuit. Like, it was like he never does that. Like, he never wears other people's swimsuits. He's actually really picky. But that day, he just threw a big tantrum, and my mom had to dress him in Hisham's swimsuit. And she thinks that he took Hisham's, like, death knoll. He, like, replaced him at the last minute. And she saw him drown, and he did drown. Sorry about this. No trigger warning at all.
No, I'm so sorry.
But yeah, my mom is very psychic.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. He was born, and this is, like, freaky. He died a year before I was born, like, to the day. Like,
wow. Maybe
the day he died the 6th, I'm born on the 5th.
Wow.
And I was, like, the last hurrah for my parents. So, like, it was kind of a miracle that I was born.
Wow.
So you never met him?
No, I never met him.
Like, might have the same soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And my dad, like, always thinks about that moment because my mom had three boys, and so they really wanted a girl. They wanted a girl right away. So, like, after the third boy, he was kind of like, oh, like, I wish she was a girl. And then he thinks that, like, God took him away to punish him. But then I was born, so it's, like, this weird thing where the universe just gives and takes, and, like, you don't have a control, and you don't have a plan, and you just have to kind of, like, trust and... Her mom is in touch. She's in touch. She's focused. She's focused.
Yeah.
She sees the signs.
Yeah.
She believes the signs and she sees them. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like growing up in that culture, you're like trained to recognize the signs. Just dreaming about death, you know, if someone close to you, with this aunt, you know, it's like 3 days in a row I dreamt of her in the same house. And in my culture, dreaming of someone in red means like they're in power. And I remember two of the dreams about her. It was like me walking up the stairs and her asleep alone in a bedroom, and my little brother being like, hey, no, come downstairs, like, we're all leaving. And that means, like, alone to sleep is like dead, you know, represents death. And then the other dream was she looked sad and wore this black dress with a tiny red block in the middle. And it was a stripe. And then by the end of the dream, it was black, which meant that she was leaving, you know. And then I think maybe the third dream was, I used to sleep on her belly. She had a big belly. And I used to sleep on it. I still have to sleep on like three pillows and break my neck because of it. But I used to do that. I was with her all the time. And in my dream, I think I was trying to and calling for her name. And she kept saying, like, stay. And then she passed. I don't know, it gives me so much peace to, like, know that people can dream about that because that's how connected you still are with this person. It's beyond physical realm, you know. Yeah. Clothes are just something, like a window, it's something you can hold on to for your, at the time, scattered brain to want to really connect.
About DNA, the fact that our saliva contains all the information about us, or like, like a one little tiny speck of our skin contains all the information required to like make a copy of us, you know? So something that's been on someone and breathed on by them, even it has their DNA.
Yeah. I gotta go feed the baby, but you can hear her squeaking in the background. She's been very patient, but I'll say this. I had a dream after my grandfather died, right after, and it was a room in a house that I dream of all the time that doesn't exist in real life. And I walked in and I saw him there and he was so happy and I sat at a table with him for hours and he talked and told me stories, but I couldn't understand the language he was speaking.
Oh, interesting.
But I laughed and I knew that he was well and he was happy. And the room was full of light. So and I'll say also, here's my suggestion for your ritual for tonight. Have a beautiful night. Have a beautiful October 31st. If you can be outside, even for a little bit, if you can be near trees, if you can be in the wind, know that they're for you. Mm-hmm. They're there for you. And the same stars and the same Venus going forward or backward was there when your ancestors were there, and they're there for you. So talk to them out loud if you can.
And of course, the moon is free to observe. There's no ticket price to go and stare at that beautiful moon.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wrap this up by saying, Happy Halloween. Do not fear the dead. Listen for the messages that they're sending us in our dreams and in our lives. They're nothing to be afraid of. They're guiding us every moment. And watch for the signs. Can we all agree?
Watch for the signs.
And you are your own magic rock.
Yes. You are your own talent. Oh, and there she goes.
There she goes.
Okay.
Happy Halloween.
We'll see you next season.
Yeah. Yes.
See you next spring for season two of the Missing Witches podcast and Witches Found. We love you guys.
Thank you, Missing Witches.
All right. Una pregunta. ¿Por qué la bruja? ¿Por qué la bruja? My name's La Bruja. With a mic in my hand. My magic wand is a pen, understand? My name's La Bruja, a witch is stand. A little girl with big dreams down these streets so mean. She believed that her destiny meant she'd succeed. And even though the odds seemed they were stacked up against her, few people could see what she had in her center. Her mental capacity was exposed to tragedy. Surviving the insanity as strong as she had to be. Her crew and family believed in her too. Underground is where she grew, boogie down Soundview, where teachers wouldn't recognize her as a real writer. But deep down inside her, a magical fire burned and devoured the negative around her. The voice from inside her was louder than the doubters. So she remained empowered, blossomed like a flower, stood tall as a tower amongst phonies and cowards that all would give a pound at the witching hour. Cause she wouldn't give up and now she couldn't be prouder. Porque la bruja, porque la bruja. They wanted the bling, she just wanted to sing. They wanted things, selling out for their dreams. She wanted peace and love for human beings. They wanted something they could pump in the truck. She wanted something that was honest from the gut. And they wanted something that the kids would repeat. She wanted something to instill some belief. Said she couldn't cut it, said that she was too deep. And all that constant. consciousness would put people to sleep. Some dreams were shot down as they tried to deceive her. She had plans for big things, but they wouldn't believe her. They told her that they doubted if she would ever achieve it. Now those very same people couldn't be any sweeter. It wasn't easy either, but if you're a true believer, you could be or inspire a future world leader.
Porque la bruja, porque la bruja.
Una bruja buena, poeta, curandera. Was a lunar eclipse. It was 1996, April 3rd. My spoken word, the first time was heard, and I emerged as a new Eurekan poet. I didn't even have a flow yet. Bobito hosted, the seed was planted. Since then, I just had to grow it. From the time I was 5, when I learned to recite from my mom, who herself couldn't read or even write. She was my beacon of light. She changed the course of my life. She saw my mom become a wife on Halloween night. So no, I don't kill chickens or do voodoo pin sticking, and my mission isn't wicked, superstition or wicked. No Spanish Inquisition, spooky premonitions, no treating, no tricking. It's just oral tradition. I only spell with words, verbal incantations. It's O10, so don't ask me again what the name meant.
Porque la bruja, porque la bruja. Porque...